time we are coming to a close now of the month, and our topic and theme for the month is the way of the servant, the way of service. Amen. And we thank God for his goodness in this time. The teachings, do not take it lightly. Do not take it lightly. God is doing a mighty thing in the house, and God is doing a mighty thing concerning his people. And if we just tap into the power, if we just tap into the anointing, if we just tap into what God is doing, our lives will never be the same again. Amen. It will never be the same again. This morning, you're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. And concerning the area of service, God wants to speak to us this morning. Now, I got to challenge you. I won't say warn you. You're here this morning, and it is the way of service. Service and service unto God is a challenging topic to many of us. Let me tell you by way of introduction, it is the natural state of man to be comfortable and to want to be comfortable. Think about it. From the time you were little, I have children. Everybody wants to be comfortable. When you get home from school, you want to kick off your shoes and lay on the couch. Or when you are maybe in our time, you wanted to kick off your shoes and go and play with your friends. You want to go to the things that make you comfortable, that make you happy, that make you relaxed. As we get older in life, we pursue many things, one of it being a job. You want to work because you want to be comfortable. You never had a car, so you couldn't go anywhere. You wanted to work, make some money, and drive your own car. You didn't want to wait for your dad to take you somewhere. You didn't want for your mom. Or you don't want to use public transport and other forms of transport. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I'm saying, though, the very nature of man is to be comfortable. Now, how many of you know that being in service is not comfortable? In fact, many of the greatest things concerning us as children of God and as believers is outside of our comfort zone. This is just my introduction. I'm not talking on the comfort zone today, maybe another day. But service is uncomfortable. Keeping with the theme of work, you therefore then get paid to render a service to your employer. And that's not always comfortable. Because we got to get up early. We got to get through traffic. We got to get to our office. Ideally, you want to be in the office before your boss arrives, right? And you're going to work a whole day. And you're going to make sure. And before your manager leaves the office, you're going to check and wait and see. Is it good for me to go early or not? Half the time or most of the time, you have to leave later in the day. It's uncomfortable. Service is uncomfortable. In the case of employment, we receive a payment. We receive a reward. We receive a salary. So we have no choice but to render our service. But service is uncomfortable. Now, in the house this morning, we are believers and we are children of God. How much more should we render our service to God? But can we be honest that it's uncomfortable even for us? Amen. It's uncomfortable. You know, if you are needed in the house, if there's things happening in the house, if there's projects, if there's outreaches, if there's various things happening. And listen, I do not preach condemnation to anyone. I'm a child of this house and I know it is hard. There's always something that is more important. There's always something that your time has to be dedicated to. Many of times it's good things. Amen. I got this to take care of and that to take care of. But your service unto God is required. And your service unto God is blessed. And I entitle my teaching this morning, Service and Duty. Amen. Service and Duty. Now, if you would go with me to the book of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And my scripture reading is from verse 7. The core of it is from verse 7. But I'm going to read from verse 1 just to get the whole story. Are you with me this morning? Tell your neighbor, get the whole story first. Right. Even if you are skinnering or gossiping, get the whole story first. Okay. We do not encourage gossiping and skinnering, but if you have to do it, get the whole story first. Amen. So in the Word of God, in the book of Luke 17, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, and if you have one of the old school Bibles or you have your Bible app, it will be the writing now will be red. Amen? Because it is Jesus speaking. He said, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. But woe to anyone through whom they stumble. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. That's not my message, but to paraphrase, it's a warning to leaders and people who are in charge of others. Do not cause anyone to stumble because of yourself. Amen. The word of God continues to read. It says, if your brother or your sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Amen. Then the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. This is very important. Underline that phrase. The disciples had asked something of the Lord. They have asked for him to increase their faith. And then he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Amen. Now, this is the point where I say, get the whole story. Often we quote this scripture, right? If you have faith as little as a mustard seed, if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed. And the word of God is yea and amen. It's true. Amen. But important in this portion of scripture, the disciples, the apostles had asked to increase their faith. And Jesus answered by saying, even if you have little faith, it's enough to move a mountain. It's enough to move a tree. Are you following with me this morning? Right? Often as children of God, we come into the household full of faith. We desire faith. We're always talking about faith. It is great. It is great. The truth of the matter, though, is you only need a little faith to please God. You need a little faith to please God. Now, here is important words of Jesus concerning our message this morning. He then says, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will you say to that servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Or won't he rather say, the master would say, prepare my supper. Watch now. The servant has been working the whole day. And Jesus says, the master will not say, come sit and eat now, the day is over. The master will say, before you sit to eat, you prepare my meal. Okay? Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. Seems like a cruel master, right? But follow with me. And will he think the servant, because he did what he was told, right? Let me finish. Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. So you also, will he thank the servant because he did what he was told? What do you think? Will the master thank the servant? No. Because in the master's mind, you have done what you are told. You are a servant, right? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Amen. So let's visit the story again, just in quick. The word of God is saying here that if a servant toils the whole day, and if he comes back from the field and from his hard days of labor, the master will generally not say to him, sit and eat and relax and rest. But the master will say to him, you go and prepare my meal and you wait on me. And when I'm done eating, then only you will be able to have your dinner or your meal. Furthermore, Jesus goes on to say, the master will not thank the servant for the sacrifice. Why? Because you are my servant. This is your duty. And so far, when we are children of God and servants in the house of God, we must understand that certain things is our duty. Is our duty. Service unto God, kingdom, his people, our family, is more than just service. It is our duty. Amen. Now, it sounds like a bit of a hard message. It sounds a bit of a stick, right? And it sounds like a little bit of a hit. So forgive me if it comes across that way. It's not the intention. But Pastor Adrian eloquently put it this morning. We live in a day and age where all people or most people believe that everything is optional. And dare I say, even our children and our young people are growing up in a world where they think some things are optional. You know? Let me say to you that when we were growing up, we understood early on that if we did not, and I'm not preaching education, but bear with me, but we knew that if we did not educate ourselves, minimum, get our matric, we knew that if we did not get a degree, which was at that time like the whole world to get a degree, we understood that if we did not have a skill, we understood that if we did not have the ability to have business, just using a simple thing, we were not going to have food to eat. So for every person here that is living, is a mom, is a dad, is a worker, is generating income, you know what I mean. To every child and young person here, understand what I'm saying. That if you do not work, if you do not put yourself to service, you would not have food on your table. But this morning, through various mediums, social media, and all kinds of things, it is taught and it's shown that, you know, everything is optional. If you don't feel like working, it's okay. If you don't feel like doing this, it's okay. If you don't feel like coming to church, it's okay. If you don't feel like praying, it's okay. If it's this, if it's that, it's okay. I'm here to remind us this morning that in the house of God, in the kingdom of God, not everything is optional. Many things are needed to be done, whether we feel like doing it or not, whether we like it or not, whether we're in the mood for it or not. Every parent knows that whether you like it or not, you have to pay for the school fees, one way or the other. So to that child in the house where you think this and that of your parents, listen, they have to do it. It is their duty. To every young parent that's having a child, that's had a young child, whether by choice or not, it is now your duty to raise that child. It is now your duty to put a roof over the head of that child. It is now a duty for you to work and put food on the table to protect that child. It is now your duty. It is not optional. Amen? You follow with me this morning. Now, by way of service, and the way of service is the way of duty. The word of God is very clear. We should not wait for reward. We should not wait for thanks. We should not wait for a pat on our back. We do not do it unto man. The word of God says that our service is rendered to God. Our employment service is rendered. That scripture is often used by way of employment, right? It says that whatever we do unto God. Whatever work we do, wherever we work, whatever vocation, whatever is our qualification, however we make our living, we don't work for ourselves, but we work unto God. It teaches us that even if our employer is cruel to us, we render our service for that pay unto God. But this morning I want to encourage you that we render our service in every sphere of our life. Number one, starting with every area of our life, starting in the area of our ministry and our kingdom calling. This morning, you are found in this house here because you believe in the things of God. You believe in the vision of this house. You are called to serve. For those of you that are not involved in any department or any area of service, you may be saying that I'm waiting till I am more holy. I'm waiting till I'm not sinning. I'm waiting till this happens or that. Some of you may say it's a lot of work. I don't want to sacrifice my time. I don't want to get involved because I'm too busy. I have young children. Listen, we have all been through it and we go through it. Amen? But what I'd like to say to you is that the way of a child of God is service. You cannot be in the kingdom. I'm not condemning you again, but I'm encouraging you. Step up, step up, step up, step up. Don't be afraid. You commit your household to God, God will help you raise your children. He's helping you right now. You know, you step up, you sacrifice a little time of your job, God will see to your promotion. Amen. We say it many a times from this pulpit. You build the house of God, He will build your house. We are not insisting, and the Word of God does not insist to put yourself in complete inconvenience and to destroy your life in order to serve. No. So come and slot in where you can fit in, where your time allows. I can encourage you here this morning that there is not one worker, not one leader that can say it's not worth it. Amen. I can see people here that have testimonies of what God has done through their faithfulness and service. The Word of God in John 12, 26 says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Who will honor him? The Father. Who will honor him? Who will honor him? Service is just like your tithe and offering. Now remember what I'm saying. It is not your tithe and offering. You can't substitute it, right? But it's the same. When you sow service into the kingdom of God, it is the Father, the Heavenly Father, that will reward you. That will return back to you. That will give to you. Amen? That will ensure. The returns of service are not always monetary. When we sow with money, we trust God for monetary returns. But when we sow in service, there are things that you cannot see that God is doing for you. Amen? I'm not exaggerating, just to step for a moment aside. Just a day or two ago, on the N3 down to Gululis, there was a massive accident. Not even 30 minutes before that, I had passed that very same spot. Amen? I'm not saying that it's okay that other people were injured or killed. But what I'm saying to you is that God the Father is watching over us. God the Father is watching over your children. God the Father is watching over your possessions. You know, death can knock right at your door, but it will not enter in. Hardship may knock right at your door. You may be going through the worst kind of storm in life, but trust that the God, our Father, His hands is upon you. He's watching over you. Amen? You know what the Word of God says about the Father? He never slumbers. He never sleeps. You can trust in your husband, but he has to go to sleep at some point in time. You have to trust in your wife, but she has to sleep at some point in time. You can trust in all kinds of things, but at some point it has to come to an end. In the last few days, and it's constant, we hear it, but we are hearing of terrible tragedies. Young people losing their lives. In the most, for smallest of things. For ridiculous little things. Young people have gone to the doctor for a minor procedure and they've lost their lives. We had it just now with some family this week. What am I saying to you this morning? The only true protection we have on this earth is God the Father. The only true protection we have is God. We trust doctors. We have faith in them. But the reality is that at some point, life and death is in the hand of God. Nobody can challenge him on that. Nobody can beat him on that. Nobody can make a determination on that. You know, in my life, in my testimony, there was times when life and death, you bow before God and make a deal with God. God, if you don't let this happen, I'll do this and do that. But you know what? God is sovereign in the area of life and death this morning. Now, the Word of God says again, if anyone wants to serve me, then he must follow me. There are two portions of scripture in the Word of God, and I'll refer to one of them. When the young rich ruler came to Jesus, and he said, I've got everything done. I've served you. I've given faithfully. I'm a faithful son in the house of the Lord. What more must I do? Jesus said to him, give everything you have away. Sell everything and follow me. And he found that to be difficult. Amen? This is the service unto God. It is difficult. It is difficult. You may think you have it all together, but more is required of you. In the kingdom of God, the way of service is duty. When you are a child of God, let's just touch on this for a little while longer. When you are a child in the Jacob's family, there are certain duties that is yours. When you are a child in the Pillay family, there are certain duties that's in my house. When you are a child in any family here, there are certain duties of the house. That duty is not for you to be comfortable, child. That duty is not for mom and dad to make your life comfortable. Therefore, that duty is not for God to make our lives comfortable. That duty is to serve that name. We are under the name of Jesus the Christ. We have a duty to serve Him. How do you know your duties? It's in the Word of God. It's in the Bible. The more you read the Word of God, the more you will understand your duty of service. Secondly, we have a duty of service to our fellow man. Amen. You know, so often I am shocked when I see things of road rage and when I see people getting angry with someone else on the street because of the fact that they are irritated or this or that is happening. Some of us might be guilty of that. Amen. Some of us might be people that, you know what, we are impatient. We can't stand this. We can't stand that. We can't wait in a queue at the grocery store. It gets us irritated. Now, another human being, just bear with me for a second. No matter what their color is, what their creed is, no matter even what their religion is, only God could give them life. The devil can't give them life. You may not agree with their beliefs. I'm with you. You may not believe with the way they dress or the way they walk or the way they talk. But their soul is precious to God. And so is your soul precious. So this morning, I encourage you that as servants to your fellow men, be wary of how you treat another human being. You know, in this world, and again, I have nothing against it. God put us as authority over all animals and all creatures. But do you know that there are some animals that live better and are treated better than our fellow mankind? And if we see that, we should not be a part of that. I'm not saying abuse animals and treat humans well. My children will have my head for that, right? We're living in a movement right now where people are more concerned about the well-being of their pets and animals than sometimes they are about their own fellow man. So I'm encouraging you this morning, consider the person on the other side. In whatever way, listen, our Christianity, our belief system, our real true value as for a Christian is not what we do here on a Sunday morning. It's what we do for those outside of these four walls. And so we trust God this morning that in the area of service to your fellow man, we would step up. We would understand the value that we bring. The next important area of service, the way of service, is to our family. Is to our family. At this junction, I want to remind the house that God had set in place an order for family. Amen? This order can be broken, is broken, sometimes by not by fault, not by choice, not by option, but God had set the order. Firstly, God is the head of every home. Then the father, the husband. Then he is the protector, provider, and the coverer of the wife and his children. The wife is his helper. The wife is his strong point. His wife is his go-to person. His wife is his backbone. And they are responsible to raise their children. I want to encourage you this morning not to break that order if at all costs you can. The enemy has entered into the order of family. And we live in a dispensation where we're told it's okay to live in a specific and particular part way. But God is encouraging and God is merciful and God is gracious. There are many circumstances where we cannot have this. But God is gracious. God will step in to be the father. God will step in to be the mother. God will step in to be the provider. God will step in. Stand firm on the promises of God. To every father in this house this morning, I applaud you, but I encourage you to remember your duty. Remember your duty. You can be as great as you think you are, but your duty is to serve your family. Your duty is to take care of them. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to provide every comfort and every luxury that your family or your children may seek, but do your duty. To every mom in this place, I applaud you. And I encourage you to do your duty. Yes, the world may say one thing. The world may encourage one thing, but do your duty. Pastor Adrian reminded us this morning, and it's in my notes. The world continuously, you know, peddles this narrative that you should take care of yourself. Yourself, yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. All of us want to be healthy. All of us want to be good looking. All of us want to make sure that we work hard for our money so we are rewarded. But remember, that should never overshadow our duties. Amen. Our duties as children of God, our duties as our fellow men, to our fellow men, and our duty to our family. Finally, I would like to just encourage, as we come to your area of service to your employer and to your business, to your area of employment, the area of making a living. You know, no matter what you say, and I've seen this, right? Okay, let me just put it this way. How many of you that ever asked God for money, right, immediately that moment saw money in your bank account? Like that instant. How many of you? If you're in the area of money, bless you, Mom. We got one hand, right? Bless you. The reality is, for most of us, when you ask God for financial blessing, you might not see it in your bank account instantly. But you know what you might see instantly is an opportunity to make money. Amen? Right? Now, sometimes, yeah, you can give God a hand for that, because many of you have seen God come through, right? Now, what happens is, when the opportunity comes, some of us don't recognize it. We'll pray for you another time on that one. But some of us do recognize it, right? And we take the opportunity. And very quickly, that opportunity becomes hard work. It becomes hard work. Because as I said, you know, even Adam had it hard. God said to him, you're not going to get your food easy. You have to work for your food. And this woman that I gave you, Eve, you're going to take care of her. And you're going to have children, you're going to take care of them. And if they give you problems like Cain and Abel, you still have to look after them. Amen. Right? So what happens is that in this time, when God gives you the opportunity, we start working. And very often, the opportunity then starts to become an irritation. It becomes a curse. Oh, why? Oh, how? What can I do? Why can't I? Why couldn't I get an easier job? Why couldn't I get a job that pays me more and I have more time for myself? We trust God for all these benefits, but don't complain about your service to your employer. Amen. Don't complain about your business. Amen. You cry to God. You are on your knees to God. You beg God. We fasted and prayed for the business. Now it comes and we say it's too hard. Now it comes and it says, oh, I wish I didn't have to wake up and go there this morning. When your client complains, you say, oh, no, not this guy again. May I encourage you this morning? The word of God is clear. No man is going to get food on his table easily. The book of Psalms says a little bit of sleep, a little bit of folding your hands, a little bit of laziness can cost you everything. God did not intend us to be born to sleep through this life and get paid for that. No. It's not the will of God. It's not the plan of God. It is your duty and your service to your employer. Now, we'll come to that another time. What if my employer is like this? What if my employer is like that? What if he's a non-believer? What if he doesn't let me come to church on a Sunday? What if he wants me to work late every week of the day so I can't come to prayer meeting? What if he's like this and what if he's like that? Let me tell you, one day when you own your own business and when you are an employer, I'm sure your staff is going to say the same thing about you. Amen. Because when you're on the other side, you will understand as well a lot of things that you will not when you are the employee. I'm just encouraging you today. Do not render your service unto man, as I said earlier, but render it unto God. When you rock up into your company, dress up like Jesus Christ is sitting in the CEO chair. Amen. When you rock up into your company, be early because you want to meet with Jesus before your day gets started. Amen. When the phone rings and you answer it with the joy of the Lord that gives you strength. Amen. When the phone rings for an order, no matter what the query is, you have a solution because you have Jesus. Amen. There is no problem too big for God, so there's no problem too big for me. There's no situation that he can't handle, so there's no situation he can't handle for me. Amen? Today we're talking about family things, family. So be comfortable. Listen to the word of God and apply the word of God. This test concerning your employer, The exam is tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. So how you show up tomorrow is going to be a test of what you learned today and how you apply the Word of God. You understand? You know, in the area of employment, do not let your employer become comfortable knowing that this Christian is a lazy one. That this Christian will come late every day. That this Christian will have a story every afternoon why he has to go. That this Christian has had 3-4 grandmothers die in the last 3 years that he can't come to work. That this Christian's child is always sick. What kind of a Christian is this? Child is always sick, so he can't come to work. Amen? This Christian's wife is always giving him problems. What kind of a Christian is this? We make up stories. We lie to our employer why we can't come to work. Amen. In the area of employment, I would like to encourage you this morning, no matter your situation at work, thank God for the opportunity. Give Him thanks. Give Him thanks. Give Him thanks. Give Him thanks. Give Him praise until that situation turns around. Instead of saying, God, give me another job, say, God, thank you. I have food on my table. I have a roof over my head. And God, I will praise you until you promote me. God, I will praise you until you give me my own business. God, I will praise you until I am the CEO of the company. Lord, I will praise you until I move forward, I move forward. Amen. God bless you. In the area of service for your employer. The Word of God then also encourages us to be in the area of service to make a difference. To make a difference. And I'm closing with this. You know, the Word of God says in the book of Psalms 101:6, it says, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me. Amen. That's David writing in the book of Psalms. I want to encourage you this morning in the area of making a difference. You see, I've come to realize that we all have a part to play in this kingdom, but we also all have a part to play in somebody else's life. That person can be found in the house of God. We have a part to play in our family. I've already elaborated on that. We have a major part to play in our family. How our children grow up, the kind of people our wives and our husbands become, is partly up to us. But also God has created in us a purpose to make a difference in someone else's life. Trust me. So I have no problem if you are a great man or woman of God and that you've built the greatest of bridges and you have solved the problem for load shedding and you are the next Elon Musk and you are the next this and you are the next that. As long as whatever you do is unto God and it touches the lives of people, you have done a great service. Amen. Amen. You have done a great service. There are many people that are great and mighty that have done nothing for anyone else but themselves. They have died with a lot of money in the bank, a lot of great investments, a lot of good things. God bless them. And we want to be like them. But they've not made a significant difference in anyone's life. Amen. Remember that when the rich man was in hell, the one that refused to help the poor man, that never let him even eat from his table a scrap, he reached out and said, if you can just put a drop of water on my tongue. And the same poor man that was in heaven said, God, just put that drop for him. Amen. Compassion and service to mankind is part of our DNA as children of God. Amen. Service and making a difference. Some of the greatest people remembered on this earth are remembered to their kindness and the difference that they made. There are some other religious affiliations that are doing great things. We know their names. We know their organizations. We know their foundations. You know what we say? We say, good job, right? We say, thank you. When there is a flood, they are there to help. When there is famine, they are there to help. The house of God does it as well. What I'm saying is when someone is in need, when mankind is suffering, when someone in around you is battling, they don't care what you are. They just care that you make a difference. make a difference. Our service is to make a difference. Our service is to live in a way that changes something for someone somewhere. Because if we are Christians, we are supposed to be the salt and we are supposed to be the light. Don't forget that. We can be great preachers. We can build great cathedrals. But if we touch no one's lives and we make no difference. Amen. Now, can I encourage you in one area? The opportunity to make a difference often comes in the shape of a problem. Right? The opportunity to make a living comes in the shape of an opportunity. But the opportunity to make a difference comes in the shape of a problem. Often you could be at the office, your day is coming down, and someone complains to you, sister. Oh, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. And how you respond shows who you are and what you are made of. Right? We can all say South Africa is like this and South Africa is like that. But I know that God is with us and He's taken care of us, every single one of us. We can say it like this and that. Our calling as servants is to make a difference. The Word of God says the eye of the Father is upon us. He's searching the earth for those that will stand in the gap on behalf of the nation. God is looking for those that say, God, above my ministry, above my family, above my needs, above my desires, above my church, we want to make a difference, a real difference. You know what is amazing about the Word of God is that 12 disciples were entrusted with the gospel. Okay, 11. Judas was not in the picture. Let's be fair, right? 11 were entrusted with putting the gospel into the rest of this world. And today it's still the greatest religion on earth. So in closing this morning, and as we prepare our hearts, I would like to close by reading this. Acts 20 verse 19 says, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials, which came upon me through the plot of others. Amen. We all have important things happening in our lives. We have trials. We have tribulations. We have difficulties. We have the need for this and the need for that. But through it all, let us render our service unto God. Our service is not because of any other reason, but because of our duty as children of God. The moment we became saved, the moment we received salvation, we became heirs to the kingdom of God. We became sons and daughters. And so as sons and daughters, we must remember our responsibilities and remember our duties. God bless you this afternoon as you prepare for the new week. Thank you and God bless.